Good morning. We continue with our study of Mishnayos as we do every single day. Lili Nishmas, Amar Malka Bas Rav Yitzchak. And today we are in Masechta Uktzin. We are in the third parak, Mishnayos Tes and Yud, as we march forward, the final four, before we complete all of Shas. The Mishnah begins as follows. Picking up on the theme that we've been talking about since the beginning of the parak, how does food contract Tumas Ochlin? And we identified some types of food, sometimes it needs a Hechsher, sometimes food needs a Machshava, sometimes it needs neither, sometimes it needs both. So the Mishnah begins, Chelev Behema Tahora Eina Matami Tumas Nevelos. When it comes to the Chelev of a kosher animal, the kosher animal's Nevela does not take on a status of Tumas Nevela, which is a much stronger level of Tuma, right? So therefore, Levichach Hutzarech Hechsher. So when something has Tumas Nevela, the stricter Tuma, so by definition, it doesn't need to be incentivized, it doesn't need to be prepared, or hechsher to become tami tumas ochlin, but since it's a chela behema tahora, it comes from a kosher animal. It is not given that stricter level of tumas nevela, and so therefore it needs a hechsher in order for it to become tami, as opposed to chela behema tameya metami tumas nevela, as opposed to the chela of a non kosher animal, which does take on the status of tumas nevela, and lefikach therefore says the Mishnah, Eino Tzarech Hechsher, it does not need a Hechsher. Now, that's great for everything that concerns animals. But what about things that are not animals? What about Dugim Temeim? What about fish that aren't kosher? Or Chagavim Temeim? Or what about grasshoppers that aren't kosher? So Tricha Machshava B'Kfarim, in villages, if a person eats them, so they need to be intended to be eaten in order for them to become Tamei with the status of Tuma in the with the status of Tumas Ochel in the villages, but inside the cities, people eat anything, and so some people eat anything in a city. So therefore, by definition, it does not need a machshava. Kaveris Devorim. What about a beehive? And the last two Mishnayos before the last Mishnah, so the third to last and second to last Mishnah in Chas are both going to deal with issues concerning beehives and honey. So when we deal with a beehive itself, so Rabbi Eliezer says as follows, Hare hi kekarka, it is considered like it's attached to the ground, which we know means it's not going to contract tumas ochel because it's still considered attached to the ground, right? The kosanala prosbol, you can write a prosbol, because a prosbol, which of course is a document where a person comes the time of Shemitah, Shemitah's Ksafim, before the end of the Shemitah year, a person has a situation which comes to the forefront where he can lose all of his loans. But if he writes a prosbol where he passes it over to Beis Din, of which in order to give it some strength, therefore, since he's writing it, it needs to have a karka. As long as the borrower owns some degree of land, we can say he's already started to collect. The malva, the owner, the lender, has already started to collect, or he has a place to collect the land. So when you have from the land, from real estate, so therefore a honey a beehive is going to be able to be good enough for which you can say you're starting to collect. It also does not take on a status of tuma while it's in its place because it's attached to the ground and it can't have tumas ochlim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if you take off honey from it on Shabbos, you are going to be chayav chatas. You're going to have violated an iser de oraisa. You're going because you're going to be guilty of reaping of koter on Shabbos. In that situation, it's like tolesh in that situation, not kotzer. Now, the Chachamim disagree with all of this. The Chachamim say we don't treat it like it's land, and so therefore, vinkos and ala prosbol can't serve as the basis of a prosbol. Umekabelos tuma b'makoma, and it's going to accept tuma where it is because it's detached from the ground. But if you go ahead and you take from it on Shabbos, you will be exempt. And why will you be exempt on Shabbos? So the Mishnah wants us to understand that it's Isser Derabanan because you're not doing it from something that's attached to the ground. It's not a violation of the Malacha D'Oraisa. We'll stop here. Be'ezus Hashem, we will finally complete our six-year cycle when we meet again together tomorrow morning. Everyone have a fantastic, wonderful, terrific, amazing, wonderful day.